How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Courier, very good morning to you. How are you?
So happy it's Friday, and I'm so happy to be talking to you.
Yeah, well,
what a week.
What a week. We've just been debating Aston Martins because I need to get new friends. My friends won't even buy me a Toyota, let alone an Aston Martin for a birthday present.
Well, it's not only that. My friends couldn't put R2 in my bank account, let alone $2 million.
Yeah, there's that. All right, let's tell everybody what we're talking about.
What was that about? Did you watch it?
Well, I didn't, but Dominique and Lindy were just telling me about it, and I'm speechless because it just shows a level of disconnect between what is moral, ethical, and normal in a regular society.
Okay, so let's break it down because it is one of the most entertaining stories this week. Nomvula Mokonyane finally made it to the state capture inquiry. Now you'll know that in the past week or so we've been seeing quite a few people and witnesses come to the fore that are actually about this whole Basasa party that was thrown in a Krugersdorp venue that started off with 80 guests and then all of a sudden turned into 184 guests, as parties do, and where all the food was and seating and all that was paid for by Basasa for Nomvula Mokonyane's birthday. Enough booze to fill the entire garage of a hotel, okay, was also sponsored by Basasa. So the whole amount just for like sitting down and having the gala dinner was like 80 grand. Okay. So back in 2003, I think it is. It's a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. We were young then.
So you have, maybe. So we have in this particular testimony, the secretary who arranged it all. Then we speak to the guy who owns the place and he confirms exactly what happened, like how shocked he was because he was expecting 80 people and 180 arrived. And there were many speeches and Angelo Gritti was there and the deceased Gavin Watson, which we have to unpack in a minute, was also there and Nomvula was very gracious and she thanked Basasa and blah, blah, blah. So Nomvula gets on the stand, only to deny that any of that happened. Before this, she said she'd never had a birthday party at this venue, okay? And Agritzi had said it was her 50th birthday party. Her testimony this week was, yes, she did have a party there, but it wasn't her 50th. It was her 40th. So how has no fury like a woman's age revealed, guys?
Yeah, that is too funny. That is too funny. I didn't even,
she never had the birthday. She never had it, Howard. And then she said, okay, yes, she did have it, but it was a surprise birthday. She had no involvement in it whatsoever. Okay. So the question was then, well, if it was a surprise, like, surely your husband missed the note. Who arranged and paid for it? Did your husband pay for it? No, she says. So, but your husband would have known. So she says, no, he didn't know. But so the advocate goes, but he drove you to the venue.
Oh, mom, but
it was so bad. So she slips and slides. I mean, you have never had more deflection and political rhetoric ever because she will start with the question and then move on to something that happened last week. Like all of a sudden you lost 20 years of her. And Judge Zondo had took over and he annihilated her. Basically this woman's party, she said she didn't know who paid for it. She didn't know and didn't thank anyone for arranging this great surprise gala dinner.
So you just go there, you just go there to this gala dinner for your birthday and you don't say, hold on, and who just organized this? Yeah.
The same thing happens on your 50th.
Right, of course, of course.
Your 50th, obviously it's a much bigger birthday, right? Mm-hmm. So on your 50th, you go and you just pick up a 3.3 million rand Aston Martin. Firstly, I want to know what kind of car is that?
No, they're beautiful cars. Oh, Tanya, they are beautiful cars.
No. Well, they better be. They better be to do a lot more than drive a 3.3 bar.
Yeah.
But when she was 50, let's not ask how old she is today. So she goes now with the Aston to pick up her Aston Martin for her birthday, and there's a deposit. So they say, well, how much do you earn? Okay. So she says, oh, you're going to make it public. So Judge Zondo says, but ma'am, like all our salaries are public, we're public servants. To which she says, oh, okay, but she's so rude, and the eye rolls, like the amount of eye rolls, you can count them. So she says, he says, but how could you afford a 3.3 million Aston Martin? No, her husband's friend and another friend, there's three people in total, her husband and two others. Her husband has now passed away. So has one of the other friends. I'm a bit worried about them. Okay, I'm not going to lie.
Absolutely.
And then there's a third person, right? They said, okay, they have this really good deal. This is what she says in the testimony. They had this really good deal coming through with Eskom. She says that, her husband and his mate.
That's what we need to hear.
Is straight away, she says, in the testimony, she says, and they knew it was lucrative, so they were going to drop 2 million as a deposit on this car, and hubby would give it back when the deal came through. So, to which Zonda says, so your husband's estate owes 2 million to this person, to which she backtracks again. It was appalling.
But even if there's an admission about getting state contracts, cars changing hands, millions of rands, it's just absolutely remarkable.
It is remarkable, but the sheer arrogance of her.
No, but, like, but doesn't that, was, that it, isn't really that the me. Biggest?
I would have talked about
it. No, but Tanya, isn't this the biggest indicator of what is really going on is the level of disconnection and non-accountability that these tenderpreneurs, whatever we now call them, have. It's disdain for the public. They actually don't even feel like they've done something wrong, and they don't owe an explanation, really.
Well, when the advocate said, let's talk about your 50th birthday, she went, what about it? As if to say,
how dare you ask me these questions? Who are you?
You've been asking me these questions. Who are you, you serf?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. What are the other, the ANC, NEC must have been a big story as well. Tell us about the NEC this week as well.
Well, I mean, that was really the big story, and it's the one we've analyzed this week. 157,000 items analyzed shows that the president came up on top. The title of this week's report is Accused Number One versus Ramaphosa. It started with Tony Yingeni saying that the president should step down. I mean,
yes, of course, the man of real integrity. The man of real integrity.
Guilty of fraud and corruption, intends to drive around drunk. He was the last person that I was going to worry about. But the nation's heart stopped because other voices joined him too, including Ubaba and his open, not so open private letter. I mean, that letter was the most non-private letter ever seen in the history of the world, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
So, at the NEC, the president of the ANC stood up and labeled his own party as accused number one. And, you know, they have this beautiful expression in Afrikaans, die poppe gaan dans. And its literal translation is, the dolls are going to get up and dance, meaning that there's going to be such big dramatic movements that even inanimate objects are going to come to life.
Uh-huh.
And the Popa definitely are dancing.
Amazing. I love
one name after another name after another name has come out this week. The Auditor General came out strongly and said that the evidence was overwhelming for the COVID corruption investigations. And it was at this point that for me it was affirmed that the president just gave enough rope to everyone so that he didn't have to hang the Tutsis himself because they did it for him. That's what we call action.
So how does he look? if I have to ask you your view, last 10 days ago versus today, Cyril Ramaphosa standing within the ANC, do you think that he moved in the right or the wrong direction this week?
Absolutely in the right direction. I mean, if you can look at the, today's timeline will show you that his net sentiment was in negative territory up until the NEC. And it was heavily into negative territory, particularly in the past sort of the week leading up to the NEC. You'll see big spikes on the graph of negativity to Ramaphosa, and then you'll see them quickly change to neutral and one sharp green spike rising up as the positivity came forward. Fascinating, Howard, when you look at the tech. Yeah. The type of words coming out of the data are things like Zuma's acolytes ruthlessly exploit, Ramaphosa survived, ANC's Ramaphosa sits way ahead of Jacob Zuma in the actual sentiment ranking. Tony Ngeni comes out really strongly, and Malusi Gigaba comes out strongly too, because of course Norma's phone got hacked as well during the week, didn't it?
The Gigabas.
Definitely. And I love them. This should be a reality show for them.
Definitely. No, I can see Lindy rolling her eyes. Lindy, do not roll your eyes. Everybody,
I am rolling first of all, my eyes.
First of all,
you.
They're both nice to look at. Not so much of them. We could also see a little bit less.
We could, just a little bit less
wouldn't do us any harm, but
yes, exactly.
But I think they are a reality TV thing. And then with the car and the arrest and the phones and
the iPhone.
Tonya, I was telling Howard, I am ready to blue tick Malusi and the wife. Really, I'm done.
Are you over her?
I'm over that whole.
When it drops, you just pick it up, guys. Don't forget. Don't try to off, because she's just gonna pick it up like she always does.
And she's
definitely
picking it up, but I just feel like I'm done with this storyline. I'm done with it. I'm done.
The only concern here, though, Lindy, is that mm-hmm. what is on her phone may very well implicate Malusi Gigaba in some serious allegations on corruption.
And until
and
I
we
start
needed that phone.
I start hearing that, I'm blue-ticking everyone.
Yeah, no, I hear that. Just a couple of comments from listeners. Carol says it would be funny if it wasn't not so damn serious. Benjamin DeVette says, well, Howard, the lying and the arrogance going on at the Zonda Commission just shows the contempt that the ANC elite has for the South African people. It's absolutely disgusting. And Henry says, and it's an interesting point he makes, that surely the banks are somewhat complicit by knowing the vast sums that are going in and out of these accounts.
Well, you would think so. If someone got 1,000 rand in their bank account yesterday and then 2.5 million the next, you would get a phone call. Well, my bank would phone me.
Absolutely. Tonya, what is going on? You have something you want to tell us.
Yeah. Can we see that invoice? Yeah, anyway, exactly. Listen, before I go, I cannot leave without talking about the DA and Herman Mashaba. Firstly, okay, the DA is such, guys. You know, there's that word too, hey. Mm. That patchwork DA we had before is now completely disintegrated, plagued by racism and white bias, and as John Moody, like, just vomited and then told us not to be sad.
Yeah, but with the level of drama, he won't even sleep with a DA t-shirt anymore.
He's done, eh? So it was John versus John, which was quite quaint. Mm. And Moody dropped files like a really bad temp and confirmed everything we already knew. I mean, we know that Godzilla doesn't care about the party and it's a very much an ego-based thing. But then enter no-name brand. Sorry. Herman Mashaba finally got a name for his party. It's no longer the no-name brand. It's called Action SA. I'm a bit disappointed. I don't know about.
Yeah, so in fact, we interviewed Herman Mashaba yesterday on the show, which was quite interesting. I started off by telling him he needs to deal with my feelings because I was very hurt when he just walked away. He became quite, he was a little aggressive around that, basically told me to read the material, and he's commented extensively on it. But either way, I'll tell you that He, and we've interviewed many politicians on the show. Mm-hmm. He was probably the least of a politician that I've ever interviewed, and I liked it. Because he was, he was straight down the line. I'll tell you that his Achilles heel, potentially, is his hatred for the DA. I didn't want to hear about the DA. I want to hear about what he's going to do. I don't want to know about how bad the ANC and the DA is. We know this. I want to know what, and he did give me a lot of hope. I must tell you, I thought he was excellent.
Okay.
Even though I can't tell you, I warmed to him as I warmed to some of the other people that come onto my show.
I must say, Howard, for me, I just see a regurgitated DA spokesperson with a bit of a shady past.
Mm.
I mean, let's not forget that he was the Joburg mayor, and under his watch, there were billions of irregular expenditure unraveled. Let's also not forget that there are huge allegations that he's involved in some issues of surrounding PRASA. And really, most importantly, let's not forget the xenophobic issue with Herman Mashaba. You know, like, so when he stands up and says, okay, it's action is, say, and we have this big pomp and circumstance, and again, you are just finger pointing, the ANC. I want a party leader to stand up and say, hey guys, I built a school yesterday. Here it is. Hey guys, I fixed this road yesterday. Here it is. Because you funded me for my branding. Here's my branding. My name is Joe Bloggs Incorporated, but this is what I'm doing. I'm so sick of rhetoric, and I think I speak for most South Africans where we just stop talking.
Well, it's interesting because that's what he was trying to put across, wasn't he, Lynn?
Definitely.
I think that he was trying to say that, but I guess it's, you know, I've invited him onto a show. It is talk, you know, I am asking him for these conversations. It will be interesting to see. For example, he made a comment, which I thought was interesting, is, you won't just be able to stand in a certain area for the party, but they're going to have primaries we don't know that. I mean, I'm in a DA area. We've tried, I can't tell you how many times to get hold of our councillor. It's absolutely impossible. You can't do that. And I mean, for example, we haven't had electricity at home for around about in the whole area for about 21 hours now. 22 hours, and I don't even bother to go through to our ward councillor because he's not going to respond.
It should start from the ground.
Of course. That's why you have a councillor. That's why we voted for them. But we didn't get a choice.
Absolutely.
We either voted ANC in our area or DA. So we're not going to vote for the ANC.
Correct.
So we vote for the DA, and we land up with a person who is completely non-responsive. So I think that's what he was trying to say. We are out of time, unfortunately. We can have this conversation for hours
for hours. If you want to keep yourself entertained, go look up Rukhadi, because I'm sorry we didn't get to that story, but
yes.
Let me fill you in.
Oh no, we've discussed that is the best story of the week as well. Rukhadi's become
a great weekend.
It's just
everyone.
Become a South African verb again. It is 8:31. I'm Howard Feldman. Good.